Mike Delaney here to tell you that when you can't afford to hire someone to mow your lawn, you might think about getting goats. Oh, yeah. Maryland using 40 goats to mow the grass along the highways. I'll have more details on that story coming up later on ATN. But first, most of the conversation out of the Beltway, anyway, is over Sonia Sotomayor and the scrutiny that she's going to face over some sensitive issues. But what sensitive issues are there when you want to be on the highest court in the land, when you accept the president's nod? There are no sensitive issues. There are no sacred cows. Everything is on the table, period. End of story, right? And I guess the biggest, most controversial thing that started to happen is that Rush Limbaugh and former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich are both saying that she's a racist, that it's reverse racism, judging by some of the comments she made in speeches, one in 2002 and one a little bit more recently. However, do you really think that a chunk of Republicans are going to vote against the first Hispanic pick when a lot of their constituents are comprised of a Hispanic majority? I mean, let's be honest, serve it out there, right? And also, you have to remember that this woman was picked by the first Bush. Her first appointment was from the first Bush, the first president, and a lot of Republicans backed that as well. So they were singing her tune at one point. So it is a strange place, I think, for some of the Republicans to be. It is walking a very fine line, to say the least. Now, much different for the Democrats, because it's all about hallelujah. Yeah, we're with the president on this, absolutely. She has life experience and all that other sort of stuff. And she had to bootstrap it. She came from Nowheresville, and look at this, and isn't this the American dream? So easier and different on the Democratic side of things versus the Republican Party, because can the Republicans risk alienating Hispanic voters if they really, really challenge Sotomayor? I'm going to say no. You're going to have to pick your battles, and it's going to be a really fine line is the best way to say it. It is flat out. That is the best description. It is a fine line, right? She's a judge on the 2nd U.S. Circuit Court, I'll say it again, of appeals so you know her background. She was named to that spot by President Bill Clinton when she was a district court judge, where she originally was nominated by George H.W. Bush, of course, in 92. So what's happened is, in digging for dirt so far, there hasn't been a lot that's come up other than those two speeches, and specifically some of the things that she said in those speeches, just little tiny things, tiny nuggets that are being thrown out there. Now, Limbaugh is calling her a reverse racist. And, of course, you know, Rush Limbaugh is, whether he doesn't want to be called this or not, and I know many of you probably listen to Rush, I think he's brilliant. His first 15 minutes of radio, this is why I think he's brilliant. He's brilliant because he knew how to tap into something that people wanted to hear, if you think of 17 years ago. And he lived the American dream because he was fired 7 times, and he kept fighting the system and worked his way up. So, I mean, obviously, it doesn't matter what I think about it, but what I'm saying is he's brilliant at this stuff, at whipping it up, certainly. So he was really the first one to call her a reverse racist. And as he says, you know, do I want her to fail? Of course I want her to fail on the court. She'd be a disaster on the court. And he went on to say, do I still want Obama to fail as president? And he said, yeah, he's going to fail anyway, but the sooner the better, so little damage can be done to the country. But besides Rush Limbaugh, a lot of Hispanic leaders are incredibly optimistic about this, and they flat out are warning Republicans against rushing to conclusions before she actually gets a chance to speak before the Senate, because the Senate has to confirm her. And so the warning is, in fact, specifically, a guy who's the executive director of the League of United Latin American Citizens is saying, I think Republicans have to be careful and not oppose this nomination just for the sake of it, because you got to think about that the length of time that the Latino community has waited for this nomination, and it's been a very long time. So isn't it interesting that this becomes, I mean, of course it's political, but this becomes, again, more about woman, Hispanic, you can't block it because here's the voters, it would be wrong. You know, why doesn't it become about, like, I'd love to hear that executive director say, and he could say that, listen, it's about time that a Hispanic was recognized, and I can see how you would release that statement, but wouldn't it have been better if he could have said, it's about time that a Hispanic woman who's qualified gets recognized, and here's the reason why we say that this is a good choice, and then talk about some of the cases, but that it doesn't go that way, though, at all. Instead, it becomes just about the specifics of her personally. That's the problem. And if you look at the last couple of Supreme Court justices who, of course, were approved by the Senate, and they went through, you know, getting nitpicked apart, which is what happens when you're asked questions about topics and decisions and all that sort of stuff. But that's the deal. It was mostly about the decisions, all that sort of stuff, not so much personal. I mean, a little bit. But I think it has to be about what would she do as a Supreme Court justice, not all this other nonsense. That's the problem. What are the qualifications? That's what I want to know. Not so much the compelling personal story, because, give anybody credit who pulls themselves up, absolutely. But the qualifications, not the personal story. Tell me about the qualifications. I mean, I can read about the personal story in Time magazine. I can read about helping the kids at the Boys and Girls Club or whatever. Forget that. Give me the meat. That's what I don't understand. Give me the meat. Why should senators feel obligated to vote for Sotomayor because of the potential for Hispanic outreach? Why shouldn't it just be on her qualifications? It's the first thing I said when we knew that Souter was stepping down. Could we not just have somebody qualified? And great if she's a woman, Hispanic, I don't care what. I don't care who the person is, as long as they're qualified. Anybody with me on this one? 800-259-5791. Coming up, we're going to let you hear what Barbara Boxer had to say, Ken Starr, and a slew of other people as far as her being the nominee for this position. I mean, man, the fact that it's a lifetime spot, that's something you got to consider here. Lifetime spot. Now, of course, there's going to be partisan politics a little bit at work here. But the idea, I mean, even Michael Steele from the Republican National, he's the Republican National Committee chairman, said, hey, you got to be careful, let's be honest. You don't want to be seen as a bully in these situations. Again, that's too bad. Why not about the most qualified? Wouldn't that be interesting? All right, coming up a little bit more on this, we're going to let you hear what the left and the right and everybody in between had to say on the Beltway, and then we've got odds and ends round the bend.
If you've always wanted to experience the amazing benefits from using oil of oregano, the time to act is now. With so many places to choose from, where can you be 100% certain you're getting the highest quality oil for your dollar? The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com brings you ultra-pure, non-diluted oil of oregano with 80% or better carvacrol. PureBulk.com also carries over 120 nutritional products, including atomic iodine, amino acids, herbal extracts, and heart health, all made with no fillers, additives, or fancy packaging, saving you 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. With each order, PureBulk.com will send you 1 dram of atomic iodine, a 150-day supply, absolutely free. Just enter promotional code IODINE at website checkout. Visit PureBulk.com, that's PureBulk.com, or call 406-251-3270, 406-251-3270 today.
Good day, Jim Newcomer, Midas Resources. May 27, 2009. Gold opened this morning at 950.40. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for 977.57, 488.78 for a half ounce, and 244.39 for a quarter ounce. That's 977.57, 488.78, and 244.39.
How is it that we the people grow the cotton, weave it into fabric, engrave the ink, embed the strips and fibers that protect it from counterfeit, then cart the money off to a privately owned bank to have it lent back to us at interest, forcing us to pay taxes and servicing debt? Is this capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when he said, a central bank issuing a public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar inside of a book that explains how the monetary system works. Call for your copy, 1-800-686-2237. Isn't it time to understand the system? Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com. Or call 866-598-7396. 866-598-7396.
Take your calls on this, 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791, also americatonight.net. We're going to let you hear what Barbara Boxer had to say. And Ken Starr, so a little of this, a little of that. Let's head out to Daniel in the great state of Kentucky. Hey, Daniel.
How you doing tonight?
Good, man. What do you think of this justice that President Obama has put out there?
Well, you know, The justice is fine, but I do agree with you. I don't care about her background. I don't care about any of their backgrounds. It is if they're qualified. You know, it doesn't matter white, black, male, female, Hispanic, Martian, doesn't matter. But you need to be qualified for this position because you're right, it is a lifelong position.
Yeah, and see, I'm so glad that you called and said that. You obviously have, you try to go with the voice of reason thing, I can tell, and that's what I think. Can we please just pick qualified people? Let's pick qualified people. This is an important position, Daniel, for you and me, because while we may have no personal dealings with the justices, things that can affect our lives are certainly decided upon as they go through the system, laws, et cetera, something that's challenged can affect the way you and I live.
Yes, very easily it can affect the way you and I live.
Yep.
But, you know, anybody in the United States, like you were talking about how this might alienate Hispanic voters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if you're Hispanic, if you're black or you're white, you still need to insist on the most qualified person. You know, I really don't know a whole lot about this lady, just what I've heard on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a Hispanic will come eventually to these positions, but it might not be today, it might not be tomorrow, but it's inevitable. You should always want, no matter what race you are, the most qualified person in these spots. I think these are the most important spots in all of government. I really do.
I agree with you. And I think it should be, you have to just blind yourself to it. I mean, I'm a woman. Do I think a woman should necessarily be there? No. I think the most qualified person should be there, period,
yes.
End of story. I always think that way. I think it should be the person who, especially in a position like this, that you want to see there, not because it plays politics. Because, ooh, now you got a woman, now you got a Hispanic. Ooh, she was poor. She, had to help her mother. She worked her way up. That's all fabulous that she did that. But that doesn't mean you just reward somebody because you worked hard and overcame some things early on. Mm-mm. No.
You know, I do look up to that. That is great that she did
Yes.
But, you know, like I said, in this position, you've got to be more than just that. You've got to be able to make the correct decisions, and the decisions you've made up until this point in your life should be considered, every one of them. Every decision that she's made should be looked at, scrutinized, and not necessarily scrutinized from, you know, we're going to find something wrong with this. They should be looked at and scrutinized so you can make the best decision.
Right.
On race.
Absolutely, I agree. Daniel, good caller. Thanks for the call. I mean, we're on the same page, absolutely. I'm going to take another call, and I'm going to take some more calls, 800-259-5791. But quickly, let's hear what Barbara Boxer had to say about the nominee.
Joining us now is Democratic Senator Barbara Boxer of California. Senator Boxer, thank you for joining us tonight, and thank you for sitting through my lame Supreme Court as drink metaphor.
Well, I'll never look at a whiskey sour again without thinking of this unbelievable comparison.
It was a little far-fetched, but, you know, you got to be ambitious, right?
That was very original.
Thank you. That's faint praise. All right. Justice Sotomayor would replace admittedly liberal Justice Souter.
Mm-hmm.
If she is confirmed, do you think the court would significantly move one way in either direction?
I think she's probably going to wind up in the mold of a Souter, despite some of the things that you said. I've looked at some of her rulings, and remember, the fact is the New York court is not conservative the way Alito is on the court, on the Supreme Court, or Roberts or Thomas. They are very, very conservative. I think if you look at her rulings, they don't go there. They're pretty much common sense. They do have that human touch to them. I've read a number of them. And I just don't think you can really predict everything with certainty. Look at Souter. He was considered a Republican conservative. So I just think if you look at her life story, which we did today, and if you look at some of her rulings and some of the things she said, I have a good feeling about her. You know, but
all right, so that's a little bit of Barbara Boxer. Obviously, she was with Rachel Maddow on her show and talking about, has a good feeling about her. You heard what she had to say there. And ultimately, she made the comparison that I made. You don't know for sure what you're getting. Look at Souter and what ultimately happened with him. I'm going to tell you about a couple of her cases as well. 800-259-5791. Dale in Illinois. Hey, Dale.
Hello. I think President Obama's nominator, he's won the election, and, you know, she should be strongly considered. I'm sure there's no way that she would not get this appointment to the court. But we're talking so much about her background and where she's come from. It's a wonderful story. The only problem is it's irrelevant.
I agree.
Let's look at the cases. She's had some cases that have been overturned by the Supreme Court that she's decided. She needs to be asked about those. You know, the statement she made at UC Berkeley is I'm concerned about that. I don't understand that. But here's a problem I think I run into, and that is that it really involves somebody else, and that's the daily press briefing, Robert Gibbs.
Mm-hmm.
The guy either doesn't read his briefing book, or it's blank. people ask him about these things, mm-hmm. and he doesn't know anything. People mm-hmm. ask him about this speech that she made at Berkeley, and he said, well, it's taken out of context. Well, how is it
explain
out of context?
It. Yeah, explain. I agree with you. It's interesting that you came up with that, Dale, because I feel the same way. I think Gibbs is a brutal representative for the White House. I see this time and time again with the way he handles his relationship with reporters.
Yeah, he's, I'm sure he's a wonderful guy and a great husband and good father and all that stuff. But he is, I don't think he's inept, Kate. I think he's just totally unprepared.
I do, too. I think he's totally unprepared. I have watched time and time. I'm so glad you said that. I've watched time and time again, and I am baffled at his responses. I know many people in the media. In fact, we'll have somebody on who did it for Bush. His name's Kevin Sullivan, and he'll tell you what that's like. You've got to be prepared. I agree, because you're representing the White House. You have to be able to answer those things. I mean,
yeah,
you might have...
I'm sorry. It's just more important than laughing for 15 minutes and chucking somebody's cell phone out the back door.
I agree.
I mean, he's not doing his president any good. He knows that these questions are going to be asked. I think what his problem is, he's so used to these snowball questions.
Oh,
in there,
yeah.
When he gets pocketed with one, he can't say anything.
I know. I know, that's exactly it. He's used to the easy layup questions, and then he doesn't have a response when someone asks him a decent question that should be answered. That should have been answered. There's no reason why they should have been stymied. He should have been stymied on that. That makes no sense. Dale, thanks for the call. Here's what Ken Starr had to say, the opposite of Barbara Boxer, obviously.
I think the hearings are going to be important, but above all, it's her record as a judge. It is important to explore these statements that she's made, because some of the statements that she's made are troubling. But the key is, what was her record as a judge? And her record as a judge, from everything that I've seen, is a very fine record. Full disclosure, she's been to our campus twice over the last couple of years, and she's worked very hard with incoming judicial law clerks. She's really a very energetic, committed to the system. But I will say this, one of the most important characteristics of a justice is that she be humble, that she be modest in her approach to the Constitution. And that, I think, is what the confirmation hearings are really going to come down to.
Now, you use the term humble in her approach to the Constitution. One of the words, and of course now we seize upon everything that's said by anybody in terms of whether it's what the president said or anything she has said, but he used the term empathy, that he wants a justice with empathy. Is that something that, I mean, how do you interpret that remark by him? And is that an important quality, do you think, for a justice?
Well, it's an important quality for judges sitting in family court and the like, but my word, when we're talking about the interpretation of the Constitution of the United States, we don't want someone who has an attitude of harshness, but on the other hand, we don't want to have someone whose attitude is the plaintiff always wins. Or the
defendant. Yes. So well said, Ken Starr. Hang with us. Your call's next.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
I was drinking more than I should, and I knew it. I just made excuses and wrote it off as stress from work or problems at home. I thought I was functional, but then I realized that just being functional wasn't any kind of life at all. That's when I heard about a free CD from the National Institute for Alcohol Recovery. Turns out it's different from anything else out there, including 12-step or hypnosis. It's based on the latest research, and it really turned things around for me.
This free alcohol recovery CD tells you about everything you need to succeed in the privacy of your own home. We guarantee it. We are so sure of your success with our alcohol recovery program that if you can find a better home recovery program anywhere, we'll pay for it. So you have absolutely nothing to lose. For a free CD, call 1-800-309-0958.
That's 1-800-309-0958. 1-800-309-0958.
Due to recent events related to the H1N1 virus, the Center for Disease Control has issued a public health emergency across the United States.
What can you do to prepare yourself from potential airborne threats?
Using patented technology developed for NASA, ZeroFlu.com offers you the very best in air purifiers. These revolutionary air purifiers sanitize and protect up to 3,000 square feet of your home and stop 99.9% of airborne allergens, influenza, bacteria, viruses, pollen, dust, pet dander, black mold, MRSA, salmonella, contaminants from chemtrails, and more. Not only from the air, but from all surfaces.
With no filters to replace ever, you save money.
Prepare yourself today. Truthful answers to your questions and concerns can be found at ZeroFlu.com. To learn more, visit ZeroFlu.com. That's ZeroFlu.com. Or call 1-888-766-6066. 1-888-766-6066. ZeroFlu.com. Protecting you and your family one day at a time.
You worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi, summer's coming and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to upthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
Coming up, we're going to tell you about some of Sonia Sotomayor's reversals, Supreme Court reversing her, some of her stuff, including Correctional Services Corp versus Malesko. In that one, the Court of Appeals upheld that an inmate could sue a halfway house operated by a private corporation on behalf of the Bureau of Prisons for injuries he suffered in the house, okay? So that was issued in 2000. The decision was reversed by the Supreme Court a year later by a 5-4 decision. It was close. Then Chief Justice Rehnquist held that the law Sotomayor cited in making her opinion only concerned individual officers and not private entities. So those who dissented were Stevens, Ginsburg, Breyer, and also Souter as well. They held that the private corporation was, in fact, a federal agent tasked to perform functions that would otherwise be performed by individual employees for the federal government. That's one of them. I'll tell you about a couple of others as well, but let's quickly jump to the phone lines. Chris is listening to us in Missouri. Hello.
Hello, Kate. That's Chris.
Hello. Hey.
I hear so much emphasis about being the best qualified for the job, and I was just curious, you know, if maybe we ought to think more about the right person for the job.
Well, there you go. That's a better word. The right person for the job. Who is the right person for the job?
I mean, throughout history, we've been taught, you know, that, Abraham Lincoln, you know, he went searching for generals. He went through several before he found Grant.
That's right.
Grant surely wasn't, I mean, clearly was not the best qualified, but he was the right person for the job at the time.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. I don't know her well enough to make a judgment, but I just think that we put too much emphasis on qualifications instead of
saying the right. You know, actually, touche, you make a good point, Chris. I'm glad that you called the show. Keep listening to America Tonight. He makes a good point. I just had this conversation the other day with a businessman, and he has a small company, and he and I were talking, and he was telling me how, he learned a great lesson, how he hired a guy with this big, fancy, fabulous resume, and then he hired a guy who had no idea how to do the work that he needed, but he had the personality, he had all the right things, And he didn't hire that guy that was really, he thought was the right guy. He hired the guy with the big resume, and then he regretted it, went back and tried to find the right guy. So I understand where you're going with that. How about the right guy, not the person with the fancy resume? But so that there's a better question then, instead of using the word qualifications, is she the right person? Is she the right person for this position? Mark in New York. Hello, Mark. Whoops.
I'm going to try to give you as much information as I can. You ready?
Uh-huh.
Okay. She is the right person for the job because Barry Sartorio, this Marxist, also known as Barack Obama, wants her to put... No, really, America's got to listen to this. He's putting this person, this radical, in this position. I've done some research myself. But look at Arne Duncan, who is the Secretary of Education. Look at Susan Rice at the UN. Look at Harold Rowe at the Justice Department writing memos for his Justice Department, but international law. Look at Eric Holder. Look at Clinton. I called you months ago saying he's lying. He's putting the ducks in a row. No, we do have – we need to – is the person who's best qualified for Barack Obama. I just have a couple of questions for her. They won't talk about specific cases. And, I don't care who gets offended. You can't be offended. You know, you mentioned Rush Limbaugh. What if – he mentioned a caller that said, you know, they always go back to the Founding Fathers and the Constitution – and how great it was and how they're respected. No, they won't. This president won't, and nor will she. They're going to wipe their rear ends with the Constitution, as they have been doing since he's been in office. I'm just sick and tired of them talking about the Founding Fathers. Really quick, Montana has, they want the Supreme Court to look at this 10th Amendment sovereignty bill that they've done. To make a long story short, they're making any gun that's manufactured in Montana wants to stay in Montana because they want the feds out of their life. That they want to go to the Supreme Court to have that challenge. How would she vote on that? The Seventh Circuit is talking about, there was a case about reparations for slavery. That's still in the courts. She voted against the white New Haven firefighter that busted his hump to become a captain or whatever it was, and she ruled against it. She talked about white men as like in the past tense. She is a racist. It should be brought up. The Ninth Circuit in the Nordyke case just ruled that the Second Amendment applies to the states through incorporation. That's going to go to the Supreme Court. How is she going to decide that? She talks about the Founding Fathers, but she believes in the living Constitution. This document can change. Look, it is scary that she's going to put up there, okay? Do you think that Ruth Bader Ginsburg doesn't want to get the hell out? She's old. She's sick. She wants to split.
Right.
Breyer wants to go, too. So this is his way to get that 5-4 a court, you know, to go more 5-4 to the other way, the Marxist way. Heller versus D.C., the gun case, the previous gun case was 70 years ago. You're right. If she stays in good health, these decisions will affect all of our lives, our grandkids' lives. Which way do we want to go? And let me leave you with this, because if they don't do the right thing, if the courts are if she's incorrect, the legitimacy of the court itself will be challenged. That's why the California court, they upheld those marriages, but they went to the will of the people because the people said this is the way it should be. If the courts rule the wrong way, the legitimacy is in question. And I just look at it this way. The country's going to freaking break up anyway, so the hell with that damn court if it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. We give too much credit. Now you're going to say, oh, Mark, you're talking out of your rear end now, but wait, hold on. We give too much credit to these guys and women in black robes because they don't know what's going on in her life, and they'll say that she does because she came from humble beginnings. So did I, and a lot of other people that are listening to your show. But which way are they going to go? She's going for Obama's, his discretion, his way. He wants to take the country, which is the wrong way. Thanks, hon.
Yeah. It's interesting what Mark said there, and he calls a lot if you haven't heard Mark, and what he's talking about is he's right. One of the things that he said, Ginsburg, Breyer, same thing. They're really at this point, how much longer are they going to stay around? That means Obama would have two more judges he could appoint. That would be three. Then you look at the makeup of the court, that would flip it in the other direction. You have to think of some of the decisions that are coming up and which way they'll go. Let me tell you a little bit more about Sotomayor. As a whole, in an 11-year career, she issued 380 opinions. Five were appealed to the Supreme Court. Three were reversed. Three of them were reversed. Okay, so in the Entergy Corp versus Riverkeep, in that decision, her opinion held that the Environmental Protection Agency wasn't authorized to conduct a cost-benefit analysis for a rule it issued on protecting fish and other aquatic life near large power plants, okay? She then remanded the case to the EPA to clarify the basis behind the rule it issued. The Supreme Court reversed the decision with a majority opinion written by Scalia. Breyer concurred in part and dissented in part. Stevens, Souter, Ginsburg all dissented on that case. And there are a slew of others because you heard what I said. She issued 380 opinions. Five were appealed to the Supreme Court. Three were reversed. Certainly some of the other justices have had the same thing happen. But I think we discovered a couple of things here in this segment. One, what about getting the right person? And that's the better way to say it instead of the most qualified, although you could interchange it. And that's what I mean. I think you get the right person regardless, whoever that is, that's what you want. And the other thing, Mark, in saying that, screw it, let the Supreme Court blow up. But I'm a person who believes in the Constitution. I believe in the three forms of, the three branches, of government. So I hope that doesn't happen. I don't want to see it happen. I don't want to see it go cockeyed and the wheels come flying off. Because I think for all of the gridlock that we've had in D.C., remember, we are still a very young country. And now we're seeing the breakdowns and the disappointments. And Mark's right in that sense. Some of the, look at some of the appointments of Barack Obama, and it is scary and to see the people that he's putting in positions, people that I wouldn't pick. Susan Rice was a good example. I wouldn't have put her in that position either. And so that is why I say that this is such an important deal. And while you're in Illinois or Missouri or Kentucky and whatever, and you say, well, you know, I'm worried about my family, my wallet, my, you know, whatever. Well, these are people that do have an effect on that. And they wear the black robes, and whether you think they get too much power or not, the bottom line is we have the checks and balances. That's why we have the executive, the legislative, and, of course, the judicial branch. And personally, I wouldn't like to see the wheels come off of that, but if we continue to go down a path where we're pulling apart at the seams and we're falling apart at the seams, you know, maybe that does happen. I hope we don't see that, though. Because, frankly, I like the system. I like the idea that you can try to push it all the way to the Supreme Court. But if the Supreme Court is made up of a group of people who shouldn't be wearing the black robes, then, you know, what is the point ultimately? But I'd like to continue to see our form of government thrive. And I guess that's the point. Because it's like I'll say once or twice when I do these shows every night, we live in the greatest country on the face of the earth, and I truly, in my heart, believe that. I've been to other places I've seen. I've been to third world countries, and I've been to Europe, and I've been lucky. I've been many places, and I still always would want to come back to the United States. There's something about the freedom that we enjoy, and I don't want to see that freedom, frankly, tread upon. So that's why I don't want to see the Constitution ripped apart. I don't want to see that either. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. We're talking about the Supreme Court nominee, Sonia Sotomayor, and some of the crazy things surrounding what will ultimately happen when the Senate vets her and makes their decision. Hang with us.
Do you have any other questions for me?
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity, and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel with Midas Resources. As you know, government spending is at an all-time high and inflation is on the rise. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? As the economy continues to deteriorate due to corporate greed and government intervention, more people will lose their jobs and, worse, their life savings. Having your hard-earned money in banks, the stock market, or any other paper asset is a lose-lose deal. You'll lose on your capital investment and you'll lose purchasing power as the dollar continues to devalue. One thing is certain, having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens, your investment will never be worthless. If you've been thinking about investing in the physical possession of precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel, at 800-686-2237, extension 108, and I will take the time personally to put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call Peter, 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108.
Less than a century ago, half of the American public grew much of their own food. Today, it's been estimated that only 1% of Americans still grow their own food. During the Great Depression, over 18 million people suffered from starvation. And as America continues down its current path, for many, the reality of another depression is a very serious concern. With massive layoffs and unemployment at record levels, growing your own food will help you save money that you'd normally spend at the grocery store. Invest in your family's future by stocking up with your very own supply of seeds available from GetSeeds.net. Each order includes over 14,000 non-GMO, chemical-free seeds that will provide you with food for years. Call 877-394-6657 to get 100 varieties of our heirloom seeds for just $49. Once again, that's GetSeeds.net or call 877-394-6657 to establish your own food supply today.
Things that we've been talking about with this new nominee, Sonia Sotomayor, at 800-259-5791. Coming up later on this show, birthdays this day in history, and also news you can abuse. Because we got to laugh, right? We still got to laugh, no matter what we're talking about. Hey, speaking of laugh, or maybe you're not laughing at this and you believe this, this is weird. I don't know if it was Fox or CNN or one of the 10 million things I was watching earlier, but there was a question that was posed, and they asked, did a UFO deliberately crash into a meteor to save the Earth 100 years ago? A Russian scientist is claiming that that's exactly what happened. His name is Dr. Lavin, and he is the president of the Spatial Phenomenon Foundation that insists that, an alien spacecraft sacrificed itself to prevent a gigantic meteor from slamming into the planet. Mm-hmm. They even showed pictures of the area of the millions of downed trees for years after this explosion in 1908. They say it was a massive blast. 15 megatons downed 80 million trees over 100 square miles. Okay, that's pretty brutal. Eyewitnesses said there was a bright light, a huge shock wave. But the area was sparsely populated, so no one was killed. Now, most scientists, because I read up on this quickly, most scientists think that the blast was caused by a meteorite exploding several miles above the surface. But this doctor, scientist, Labin thinks quartz slabs with markings found at the site are remnants of an alien control panel, which fell to the ground after the UFO slammed in the giant rock. You know, really, how do you prove or disprove that? Well, because you see these quartz slabs, these markings, how could they be? Donovan, I'm not a big conspiracy theory person, but I think it's interesting. When you look at the pictures, and of course, it's easy to manipulate that and say, well, look at these ringed trees, and they're all down. Do you think it's possible that a UFO intercepted a meteor to save the planet Earth? See, he's in shock. He's like, whatever. I'm too busy for that. Are you kidding me? And I don't know why, but I was so, I'm always so intrigued by that. Intrigued in the sense that how can you ever totally prove this story? I mean, if this doctor is right, you have these people that identify it. You have these people that say that's insist that's what they saw. But just because they saw bright lights, I agree. It could just be the meteor. Could be something else. I mean, yes, there is a huge shockwave, but there wasn't anyone killed. There wasn't very many people around, so I don't know. 1908, there's nobody in my family that I can ask about this story. I just, like I said, I just did a little checking. And I'm going to say that the story doesn't have a lot of legs because I think it's really tough to prove that. And who are you going back to now at this point and talking to? All right, this I can believe. I'm serious. This I can totally believe. Here's the difference between the two stories. One, there's no way in hell you can prove it, right? This one, I think, is something you probably can prove. But how do you get there to prove it? North Korea is certainly flexing its muscle, more than flexing its muscle. In fact, North Korea is threatening to attack the United States and South Korean ships that try to intercept their ships and renounce a 53 truce that halted the Korean War fighting. So I think there is a chance that we could see something happen in a matter of maybe days, maybe weeks, but I think there's going to be problems near Korea. Kim Jong-il is serious about this. This isn't an idle threat. And the North is furious with the South Korea, for deciding to join the anti-proliferation program that, of course, their whole goal is to stop and inspect ships and that are suspected of transporting banned weapons and nuclear technology and whatnot. So with the South Koreans and the U.S. banding together and those boats out there, boy, I think there's a good chance I'm going to jump, and I hope not, but I think there's a good chance I'm going to jump on these airwaves, and I'm going to be saying that you're not going to believe what happened. It happened, in case you didn't hear today. The U.S. has over 28,000 troops in South Korea, and they're there because of a deterrent against North Korea. And if they bolster the level, you would get more surveillance, you would get more intelligence analysts, and all that kind of stuff would immediately be deployed to North Korea. And the North is saying that they have told the South, if you jump on this PSI, you are declaring war against us, and we are going to bring you down. And that means that they're going to go after the U.S. too. Hillary Clinton, who spoke earlier in the day, talked about North Korea facing consequences for nuclear and missile tests and denouncing the threats. Serious threats.
With respect to North Korea, North Korea has made a choice. It has chosen to violate the specific language of the UN Security Council Resolution 1718. It has ignored the international community. It has abrogated the obligations it entered into through the six-party talks. And it continues to act in a provocative and belligerent manner toward its neighbors. There are consequences to such actions. In the United Nations, as we speak, discussions are going on to add to the consequences that North Korea will face coming out of the latest behavior with the intent to try to rein in the North Koreans and get them back into a framework where they are once again fulfilling their obligations and moving toward denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
All right, so you have, and I mentioned this earlier, but it's worth saying again, you got five permanent veto-wielding council members when you talk about the UN, right? The United States, Russia, China, Britain, and France. And the two countries most closely affected by the nuclear test are who? Well, Japan and South Korea. And they've discussed possible UN sanctions and other measures for this new resolution. Here's the bottom line. Cut the crap with the sanctions, the resolutions, all the other stuff. Just make a decision. And the decision is to just go for it or let Kim Jong-il, who looks so frail, by the way, anyway, let him to continue to push the buttons. And that's exactly what he's doing by having several tests lately. I would feel a little uneasy if I were Japan. And certainly if I were South Korea, I would feel uneasy because now South Korea hooking up with the U.S., it puts them in a position where there's no question they are saying, forget you, North Korea. Forget it. Mm. And the UN chief is saying it's a violation if North Korea nuclear tests are confirmed. Well, the answer is they're going to be confirmed. They're going to be confirmed because there was seismic activity. So at this point, I think Kim Jong-il is like, I don't care. I'm just going to do whatever I want to do, period, end of story. So how do you deal with a dictator who does whatever he wants to do? We know what we've done in the past, right? I'll say it once again. We still live in the greatest country, by golly, on the face of the earth. No reason why you can't get on that carousel, ride it around a couple of times, gently reach your hand out and grab the brass ring.
Fast, die young, have a good-looking corpse.